donkeys and had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. Eat and drink with them. When a period of feasting had run its course, Job would make arrangements for them to be purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering. This was Job's regular custom. One day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. From roaming through the earth, going back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There was no one on earth." "Does Job fear God for nothing?" Satan replied. "Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the works of his hands, so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But now, stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you. Everything he has is in your power." God said to Satan, "Very well then. Everything he has is in your power, but on the man himself do not lay a finger." One day, when Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the older brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were ploughing and the donkeys were the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The fire of God fell from heaven," and while he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The Chaldeans formed three raiding parties and swept down your camels and made off with them. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one," said. "Your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the four corners of the house. It collapsed on them, and they are dead, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." At this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. "My mother's womb, and naked I would worship," and said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has not sinned by charging God with wrongdoing." On another day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them to present. Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? His son's evil, and he still maintains his integrity, though you have incited me against him to ruin him without any reason." "Skin for skin," Satan replied, "his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well then, he is in your hands, but you must spare his life." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. Then his wife said to him, "Are you..." scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, "Are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die. Good from God and not trouble." In all this, Job did not sin in what he said. This is the word of the Lord.
Morning, everyone. Now, as some of you know, I can remember one day as a boy that a group of entertainers came and did a puppet show for us in the school hall. And I happened to be sitting at the side. I was actually able to see behind the screen that the puppeteers had erected for their performance. And it was a very interesting experience because it was a little bit like watching two shows at the same time. I could clearly see the puppets acting out their parts above the screen, but I could also manipulated the puppet below the screen as the puppeteers moved around and manipulated the puppets. The show below was not really two different stories that were being acted out, but really the same story at two different levels. Even though they were very different, the screen with the puppets wouldn't exist without the story of the puppeteers below the screen. Being able to see what happened below the screen, a totally different perspective and a totally different view of it. Well, our Bible reading today from the beginning of the book of Job introduces to us, we meet a man named Job, and we learn something about his life. Who is this Job? Well, in the opening verses, we learn two important things about him. Firstly, he's a righteous man. God says so at the beginning, and in verse 18, we can see by the way Job's behalf, just in case they've sinned, children and offers sacrifices on their behalf, just in case they've sinned, we see that Job has a very developed and how easy it is for people to sin. The second thing that we learn about Job is that he is a man who's been greatly blessed by God of the East. 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 oxen, 500 donkeys, many servants, and 10 children. A man who knew God intimately and enjoyed a good relationship with him. A man who had a great amount of respect for a holy God, feared him, and worshipped. But then look what happens. In one day, Job loses all his possessions, one after another. The Sabaeans attack and carry off the oxen and donkeys. Fire falls from the sky and burns up the sheep. Chaldeans take away the camels, and his servants are killed, trying in vain to pretend comes from nowhere. Then the most terrible thing happens. A wind comes from nowhere and blows down the house where his 10 children are having a... Then a few days later, Job himself develops terrible weeping sores all over his body. In a very short time, Job loses his children. And to everyone watching, he's no longer the greatest man in the East. He's no longer a man blessed by God. He's a man that people would make jokes about. He's a man who now appears to be under the curse of God. Well, by Job's situation. Sometimes it's hard to wonder, you know, how can this be true? But then we realize that things like this happen in our world. People lose loved ones. They lose their property and their savings. They lose their jobs. They lose their careers. Everything is going really, really well. Sometimes it seems that one minute everything is going really, really well. You're enjoying relationships. Now, there are some people in this world who've come into the things that they own, into their possessions, by crooked and dishonest ways. Businessmen who cheat others. When calamity strikes these people, we say that they're getting what they deserve. We say they're getting their just desert. It makes it clear to us that Job is an honest and an upright man. He's fair in all his dealings, and he fears God. We probably have terrible things happen to them. Maybe it's happened to us. Maybe we feel that we're suffering unjustly. How can this be? When I look at a man like Job, it just doesn't seem fair. I don't understand a God who treats good people in this way to him. Our indignation at Job and what he was made to suffer would be completely justified if this was all the story was about. And the terrible and unfair things that happened to him, then it would be very right for us to be angry with a God who allowed that to happen. A part of the story that is hidden from Job and normally would be hidden from us as well. The author, through divine inspiration, is able to hurt him. In verses 6 to 11 of chapter 1, we're shown another setting, another situation, and that is the throne room of heaven. In this story, we meet a character who plays a very key part of this story. This new character has many different names, but he's introduced to us here as Satan. And in Hebrew, that means adversary, accuser, one who opposes, is a spirit being who... as a proper name, Satan is a spirit being who is an opponent of God and slams Satan doing. in these verses. When God asks Satan to consider Job and his upright behavior, Satan accuses God, and God wrote about Job. And he puts in his song, he puts it in this way. Blameless and upright, a fearer of God, a man truly righteous, and so one whom Satan desired the most. One day the accuser came breathing out lies. It's your holy handouts. His children all killed in one raw holocaust. Once more the deceiver denounced and decried. It's skin for skin and hide for hide. Strike down his flesh and he'll surely deny and confess that his praying has all been a lie. Very well, take him, the holy one. So Job was afflicted with terrible his life, for my son shall not die. So Job was afflicted with terrible sores, sat down in the ashes, user cries. It pays too well. Job is just a good time friend, a sycophant who hangs out with you while the fun and good times roll. Thrust, Satan discredits God's beloved Job and tries to show God as a fool. You see, at this point, Satan's charging good and blessing from God's hand. Who can say what's underneath and what would happen if the blessing ceased? It could very well be that whatsoever. It could be that all Job's righteous actions are just self-serving. Satan is sure that he can break Job and show him up as an imposter, and show God as a foolish old man who will just ignore sin in order to have a friend. Almighty by his greatest the story. A challenge to the Almighty by his greatest enemy. If Satan can only bring sin as good, can be shown to be really evil. And a great chasm of alienation opens up between God and man, and it cannot be, will be flawed, and God can only sweep the whole thing away in an awful judgment. Well, what do we learn here? Let in to this part of the story, into this level. Job knows nothing about what is going on behind the scenes. At the beginning of chapter 1, what's going to happen? He has no warning, no opportunity to prepare himself. The events just sweep over him in a merciless wave after wave, taking all he has and loves away from him and creating acute and painful confusion in what he understands about the world. It is God who allows. The second thing that we learn is that it is God who allows Satan to test Job. Satan is to break Job, but Satan's hand is limited and restricted by a loving God. In verse 12, we see man himself do not lay a finger. And the second time in chapter 2, verse 6, God says, very well then, he is in your hands, but you must spare. God has set limits on what Satan can do. And Satan cannot move outside of these limits. Satan does not know what Job's, but the Almighty God knows, because God is all-knowing. He knows how much Job can take, and he already knows that Job will pass these trials. God already knows what's in Job's heart. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul restates this temptation has seized you except what to the Corinthians. And he says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. When you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. The third thing we learn from this level of the story is unfair suffering. The story of a good man getting a bad deal. In actual fact, this true story here is one of cosmic significance. Bribing his servants. Satan says that God is so pathetic that he has to pay people to be his friends by giving them unfair and undeserved. Is to stake his entire reputation on the faithfulness of Job. What a risk. What a responsibility Job has in his suffering. And he doesn't even know it. This story is about the sufferings of a man named Job. And it's a very key event will prove God right. The outcome of this event will prove God right and humiliate and silence the accused. Gamble for God to stake everything on a weak human like Job, who had only ever known blessings and good times. Well, you see, it's not really better than Job knows himself. God knew Job when he created him and knew what Job could and would do. What a wisdom and righteousness. Will prove his wisdom and righteousness before the heavenly beings. We will see that Job is vindicated and God is vindicated because it is proven that his creation is worth loving and worth redemption. God's response to his suffering and loss is, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." Liar. Satan is shown to be a vindictive liar. What about us? And dramatically, as Job did, some of us will suffer in quieter ways that will be equally painful for us. What do the first two chapters is part of our existence? Real people suffer. Bad people suffer for what they did wrong. But good people also suffer. The equation: do bad and be bad and receive bad things. Do good, be good and receive good things. Many people, even Christians. However, the book of Job reminds us that life in our world is very rarely that simple. Good things happen to bad people, and bad things happen to good people. The book of Job shows us that if bad things happen to us, it does not make us bad. If desire, the necessarily punishment for what we have done. The second thing that these chapters of Job teach us, the accuser still accuses, and God still stakes his reputation on his people. The people he is in relationship with. The people he considers his people to be in a real relationship with him. He already knows who we are. He already knows what we're made of. But he wants us to know a handout. God wants us to know that we're not a bunch of freeloaders who are only there for the good times and the blessings. There is a heavenly waiting with great expectations for God to again be proved to be right, wise, holy, and loving, because again it's proved that he knew his people and just how much they could take. Over the years, there have been many people who have suffered terribly, but have held their faith in God. Saul, and he wrote the hymn just after his four daughters and his wife were drowned at sea. People like Helen Keller, who was deaf and blind, quiet. Only through the experience of trial and suffering can the soul be strengthened, ambition inspired, and success achieved. And Corrie ten Boom and said, "You can never learn that Christ is all you need until Christ is all you have." And there are many, many others, even when they lose everything else. The third thing that we can learn from the book of Job is that God is no man's debtor. See that God restores to Job everything that was taken from him and blesses him even more than before. At the end of the book, in chapter 42, we see God gives him twice what was taken away. 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camel, 1,000 oxen and donkeys. Another to the fourth generation. He dies, lives to be 140 and sees his children to the fourth generation. He dies old and full of years, a great sign of suffered. Some of you are suffering. Some of you will suffer in the future. What comfort can you take from the book of Job? argument. Don't be fooled by the, if you only had more faith, God would heal you, bless you, deliver you, and make all the problems you have go away. And see if perhaps there is something you've done wrong. Perhaps there is some sin that you've committed. But if you can't find anything, don't beat yourself up about it. In this life, remember that sometimes there are things happening on another level in the story, things that we don't know anything about. It might just be that we're suffering, that our suffering in our simple little life is playing out some dramatic struggle in the heavens. It might just be that God has staked his reputation. It means that the God who made us, what an incredible honor. It means that the God who made us and knows us intimately, knows he's going to defeat the accuser and he's going to use the faith that he's given us. Remember that God is no man's debtor and he dreams. And the reward will be even more meaningful because of our faithfulness and our sufferings proving that we truly love God for who he is. And because of that goodness that we can stand through our suffering. Our reward may not come in this life. We may not get our reward in this life delayed. Let me finish with the words of Horatio Spafford that he wrote in that hymn. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Christ has regarded my helm, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood. The sky, not the grave, is our goal. O trump of the angel, O voice of the Lord, blessed hope, blessed rest of my soul. The clouds will be rolled back like a scroll. The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the book of Job. We thank you that you have given us this part of your word where you show us a story on two levels. And we thank you that even though he was greatly blessed by you and then suffered these terrible things and had everything taken away, yet he did not curse you. He blessed you and worshipped you. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the witness of this man who recognized that everything good and bad that he had, able to trust his life into part of your will and your plan. And he was able to trust his life into your hands. Forgive us, Father, for the time we're tempted to give up and to stop believing in you. Forgive us for the times when we're confused by our world. Forgive us for the times when we believe the Dear Father, help us to be willing to put our hands into your lives, especially at those times when things are going wrong. Help us to be willing to trust you with all that we have to serve you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.